Yeah, I can think of a time when God let me flounder around for something like 2 years, struggling. And finally I asked him, and it was something so simple to fix. It was just something according to prayer, the way I was praying. It wasn't because of any sin. It was just because I was disobeying him. He had asked me to change some things in prayer. But I went on going and going and going about my own business, doing the thing that I thought was of God. And, he corrected me. He called me out on it, and he said, "Look, I told you." And I'm thinking, "Look, you told me 2 years ago. You let me flounder around." He's like, "I'm not going to tell you again." When God speaks to us by His Spirit, we need to obey Him. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I called you here and I told you that you don't want to miss tonight's service. We don't want to miss it. Amen. And we have some special announcements to make concerning end times and what is to come. And in particular, a message for after the rapture happens. Because we're getting really close. Now, if I were to title today's message, I would call it something to the degree of "If You Miss the Rapture." Now, my prayer for you is that none of you miss it. Amen. I believe that you won't. But there is coming a time. We're coming very, very close to certain events that are going to take place, that are going to usher in the rapture. This is going to come to pass. It's going to happen in our generation. It is inevitable. Can you prove that, Pastor Dan? Yes, I can. Jesus said in the last times it'll be perilous times. People will be lovers of themselves, it says in the book of when Paul wrote to Timothy. People will be lovers of themselves. Boastful, proud, disobedient to parents. Arrogant. Not lovers of the good. Lovers of money. And all you have to do is just turn on a secular radio station. I don't really encourage you to do that. But if you listen to the message that's being proclaimed, it's all about me. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man that has seen the commercial. And, the world thinks that this is okay. But when you become confident in yourself and you're not confident, your confidence is not found in Christ, you've now fallen into the category of being a prideful, selfish person. And that's what Satan's main downfall was, is pride. So people are becoming more and more like their god, Satan. But the opportunity to be born again is still here. We have to follow along these lines. We have to get this message across. Now, if you're listening to this message online and people are missing, I'm going to tell you this, that the rapture has taken place. This is a biblical event. It is not called the rapture in your Bible, so don't look for the word. It is a word that we use to describe what is going to take place. God calls it the catching away. The people are going to be caught away and disappear. There's going to be many disappearing people and children in particular. But before that particular event happens, there are going to be dead people rising out of their graves. Righteous dead are going to rise out of their graves. And this, I'm telling you, is why the social media and Hollywood has thoroughly programmed you to believe that there's going to be a zombie apocalypse. Does anybody in the room agree that that's what they're trying to paint the picture? Even the cartoons they're trying. I even seen it. One of the kids in our church had a zombie something, "Take Me to Your Brains" or something like it said. Michael Jackson's been proclaimed it in his video, Thriller. The zombie apocalypse. They've been thoroughly programming the whole world to see these things, so that when it does happen, when the rapture does happen and the dead in Christ rise first, it says, and they're taken out, that the world's going to think it was actually zombies running around there. And they're going to run around in fear of what is going to come upon them. Well, they should fear, but the only thing they should really fear is God Himself and repent. Amen? Because there'll be much worse things happening in the earth now that you miss the rapture than a zombie apocalypse. I can tell you that. It's going to be much worse than zombies eating people's brains. How about some locust creatures that torment people for 5 months and they can't even die when they try to kill themselves? You can read about that in the book of Revelation. Or the lion-headed, snake-tailed, 200 million horsemen that go forth to 50 million in four different directions with angel leaders over them that go out to kill a third of mankind. It's going to be much worse than a zombie apocalypse. So what has actually happened here, if you've missed the rapture, what has actually happened here is it is not a zombie apocalypse. Okay, it is not an alien invasion. That's the next thing I want to talk about. On everybody's lips, if you just follow, they're looking around and they think there's really going to be this alien invasion. Let me tell you something about aliens, okay? They're not aliens, they are demonic spirits.
Amen.
If there's life on other planets, it's none of your business. You would never even find out about it in your sphere. But if there are some kind of aliens that portray themselves on this planet, let me tell you something, they're not really aliens. They're coming cloaked in deception is actually Satan's different angels.
Amen.
A third of them have fallen. So if you see things happening and it appears that there's been an alien invasion, I can promise you that there's no alien invasion.
Amen.
If people around you are trying to explain away the event of people missing as an alien invasion or a zombie apocalypse or anything even remotely like that, you can be sure that it was actually the rapture.
Amen.
I'm telling you right now, my listeners, that was the rapture that taken place. People, it has been. And if you'll follow along in this message before we get to the end of this, I will prove to you in Scripture that it was the rapture and the dead in Christ rules first.
Amen.
Now, we need to beware. Now, Hollywood, I've watched some of the videos and I've been studying this, and, you know, there's some flaky people out there making videos, but there are some people that are led of God to legitimately make some videos to prepare people for what is next. And I've been in prayer about what is true and what is false, and I can clearly see that Hollywood in particular, the Illuminati, everybody knows who they are now. They are a group of people who are doing things right in... Their whole main goal is to do things right in front of you with you being completely oblivious to what's happening. And anybody who's been, it says the god of this world, Satan, 2 Corinthians 4, 3-4, has blinded the minds of them which are unbelievers, lest the glorious light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ should shine unto them. So they're blinded to the fact that Satan's doing this through these people. Really, all the Illuminati, all they are is really Satan's puppets. In their greed, they are doing things based upon the influence of Satan and demonic spirits. And they don't, and they're puppets, they don't even realize that they're being used completely by Satan. He's just using them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to destroy them in the end. They think that he promises them grandeur and success and all these things. And it may appear initially that they're getting the success, but let me tell you about the end of the matter.
Mm-hmm.
The end of the matter is going to be complete destruction for the Illuminati and anybody involved in any kind of witchcraft or occult or anything involved in anything else that Hollywood gets into.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they don't want you to know that they do this, but the fact of the matter is they do it right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Just study into it. You can find out that they're doing it right in front of the people. All this one hand over the eye baloney. All these symbols like this. That's a 666. They got it on their jackets. It's in the music videos. They put times and dates of pre-planned events. It's all over the place. And if you will slow down and just find... And that's not even counting all the blitz and the things if you do it slowly backwards and find out the other subliminal messages that they're putting in the people. It is almost ridiculous to me that people don't realize this is happening. If you would just slow down and take a few seconds to look at what is happening in the music and the movies and look at the dates and all the things they're putting in there, Satan is using these puppets to pre-program the people. In particular, he uses dates. I've seen this. And the reason he uses dates is so that when the rapture actually takes place, and for those of you, the rapture actually took place, he's pre-programmed the world to look around them in complete confusion. Because he's used many different scenarios about what is going to happen in the end times with the same date, same different dates. So when the rapture actually happens around these dates, that people are not even going to realize why they just cannot figure anything out. They're going to be completely confused because they've been subliminally programmed by the devil through these puppets. I'm calling them puppets because that's all they are. Now, God will forgive them. He wants them to be forgiven. He will forgive anybody who will call upon His name.
Amen.
So what's really happened, if people have disappeared around you, this is not an alien invasion. There is no aliens. None. There isn't. Just forget about the whole alien thing.
Amen.
Forget about it. They are demonic spirits.
Amen.
There's no zombie apocalypse. If people have risen out of their graves, which is going to happen, and you actually saw this event, maybe perhaps they video recorded it, they are not zombies. They are the dead in Christ being risen. They're in heaven now. They're on a different planet called heaven. A real, legitimate planet. It has cities on it. It has highways in it. It has a whole social program. It's a real planet with a real government. And those people are going to be there for 7 years. Unfortunately, because you did not choose to obey Christ, now you're stuck down here for 7 years. But there is hope. The Bible says everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But there are some requirements along with this. After you confess your sins and ask God for forgiveness, you can simply say a prayer. God, I forgive everyone who's done me any wrong. Please forgive me for all my sins. I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and turn from sin once and forever to follow Him. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that prayer from your heart and meant it, then you can know for sure that your sins, all your past record of sins is instantly blotted out. He says, I forgive your sins for my own sake. He will blot out your sins, your transgressions, as far as the east is from the west. He doesn't want to know what you did anymore. Now you're His son, His daughter. You can live for Him. But the requirement is that you turn from sin once and forever. God's requirement is that you're doing your best not to sin against Him. Doing your best to follow Him. And He knows that you'll still probably make some mistakes, but the Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. He says in 1 John 2:1, my dear children, I write this to you that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He's your lawyer. He's the one pleading your case in the courtroom of heaven, saying that you are forgiven. So, if these events have taken place and you're down here, the first thing you're going to have to learn to do is understand that God loves you, and He's not mad at you. God's mercies endure forever. You're going to need to rely on the fact, and you're going to need to tell yourself probably 1,000 times a day that God loves me. You're going to have to say that to yourself. It's going to be the thing that's going to encourage you and remind you that God will not forsake His word, and He has not forsaken you. Because there's going to be terrible, terrible events happening on this planet for the next 7 years. And it's only going to get worse after the first 1,260 days. I don't want you to panic. I would encourage you not to panic. The world around you right now, if you miss the rapture, is panicking to a level that's never happened on the face of the earth. They're panicking because they're afraid of all the pre-programming that's been placed in their spirits. They believe that there's alien invasion, all this other baloney. But you're not going to panic. Your favorite scripture now is going to be Psalm 91, the whole chapter, talking about God's protection, because that's what you're going to need to make it through the tribulation period. And there is hope, because there will be many who actually live through this, and if we have time, we'll prove that to you with Scripture. Many people will live through the tribulation period. Not everybody's going to die. The world around you is probably going to tell you we're all going to die. This is Armageddon. A meteor is going to hit the earth and all these other things. Well, there's going to be plenty of things hitting the earth. But if you claim God's protection and say, I claim that I'm supernaturally protected by God, there is a chance that you will live through this. But more importantly, other than your natural life, the most important thing right now, since you've missed the rapture, is your eternal salvation. Because these things were all prophesied about thousands of years prior that they would come to pass. But for some reason, you were deceived into not listening to what God's Word has said. Now's the time to fully obey. Now's the time to not panic. Now's the time to trust God and lift up your hands and worship Him and know that He loves you. And He's given you another chance. Now, another word that I say to anyone who's missed the rapture, not to use any weapons. If you have guns, if you have knives, the only things you should be using them for is to get food if it comes to that point. Don't try to protect yourself with guns and knives. The Bible says, he who kills with the sword he will be killed. If you think you're going to protect yourself with that, forget about it. You're going to get yourself in a whole bunch of trouble. Put them away. If it comes to the point where you need to hunt for food, go on and use the guns and knives to hunt for food. That's the only thing you should be using them for, not to protect yourselves. Your protection is only going to be found in God at this point. He's your only hope. Because a gun and a knife is not going to protect you from some of these people, and a gun and a knife is not going to protect you from some of the things that are happening in the earth. The only thing that will protect you now is your shield, your buckler, who is Jesus Christ Himself. The first thing that you should be doing now that you're born again and have accepted Jesus Christ is to pray. And the first thing you should pray for is the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Jesus said these words in Mark 16:15. He said, "In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak in new tongues." He's talking about these signs will follow those who believe. If you're a true believer and you've truly repented, then you should cry out to God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You should be seeking Him for the baptism. And you don't have to wait a long time. It should be instantaneous with the speaking in other tongues. Just simply ask for it, and by faith step out and speak those supernatural utterances, those syllables that want to come out of your mouth, speak them into the air, and know that as a form of prayer, the Holy Spirit is supernaturally creating a spiritual language to pray the perfect plan of God for your life out right now. And if you will pray that plan out, you're going to have a whole lot more chance of survival. And more importantly, it's your lifeline to stay saved. Because that, at this point, is your main focus, to stay saved. To stay saved if you've missed the rapture. Now, and I got to remind you, I just want to say this again. There is no aliens. Just forget about it. There's no zombie apocalypse. The people are missing because there was a rapture. That's where they went. They're in heaven right now. And you're going to go there too in a short time. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I would have to describe as the single most important thing that you're going to have to yield to the Holy Spirit's utterances to stay close to God. The Bible says in Romans 8:26 that we don't know what to pray for as we ought. And at this time, with all the chaos going around you, you don't know what to pray for. But the Holy Spirit does. And you need to step out by faith and trust God that as you speak those utterances that sound like nothing possibly to you, that God is praying the perfect prayer for your situation. Your situation may seem bleak right now. Your situation may seem like it's all over with and it's hopeless, but there is plenty of hope. Amen. You already accepted Jesus Christ when you prayed that prayer and got born again. Now you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. There's a whole lot more hope for you than the rest of those people who are running around with all the wickedness in the world. You've got a lot of hope. You can also pray the prayers of faith. The way we pray is to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me give you an example. Father God, I ask you to protect me and my family right now in the name of Jesus throughout this tribulation period so I can go home to be with you. I thank you that it is done now in Jesus' name, amen. And then just praise Him for protection. Or you could say, Father God, I need food and water. With all these plagues and all the different pestilences that have come upon the water and the seas and the springs of water, we need some water over here. Please bring us some pure water to drink. In Jesus' name, I thank you that I have received it now. And then praise Him until it manifests. Don't get discouraged if it doesn't come instantly, and don't be unaware of the fact that you should be looking for God to provide now. You should be watching for His salvation. You should be watching for His provision. And let me just say this, God does not always provide in the way you expect Him to. Let me give you an example. My wife and I once were talking about, events to come and how God would provide for people. And God brought back to my remembrance what had happened in the Old Testament when He rained manna, which was a type of bread, down from heaven to provide for the people. He made water come out of a rock. He made quail fall down from heaven, and I believe it was the next day, my wife went on a walk with her dog around the block, and a hawk came, picked up a squirrel right in front of her, and dropped it just a few feet in front of her path, right dead center in the middle of the sidewalk. God was confirming His word with signs following, showing us how He would provide for people, because we've been inquiring about this. So God can provide in many ways. It may not come the way you expect Him to. He may not drop lobster on a plate out of heaven, but He will provide for you. So be humble and receive His provision if you'd like to survive. Now, I'm just going to quote a few scriptures. Since you're in the word tribulation simply means trouble. Trouble is, it's terrible times. And that's what 7 years they're going to be on this earth. And the Bible says in the book of James chapter 5, verse 13, that is anyone you in trouble, he should pray. That's the first thing you should do is cry out to God. Be praying in tongues. Be praying with your own language, whatever that may be, crying out to God for His provision and protection at this time. And it, especially so for His guidance. You're going to need plenty of guidance and direction. So ask the Holy Spirit for guidance and direction of what I should be doing during this tribulation period. Where do you want me to stay? What do you want me to do? You know, he says, if anyone's in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is anyone of you sick? He should call for the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he sins, his sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And then he goes on to say in verse 17 and 18, the prayer of a righteous, he says that Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. So you can be confident and know that you are born again, you're a child, you're a son or daughter of God, and He hears and answers all of your prayers, regardless of how long it takes for it to manifest. I can tell you this, the more that you worship and thank Him that it's already done, even though it hasn't, you haven't seen it in the natural, the faster you're going to see it manifest in the natural. The more you praise Him, the more it will keep you encouraged in an attitude of faith to receive His provision.
Amen.
Now, Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. You may have to encourage yourself with these words. Everyone who asks receives, the Bible says. You're going to have to be steadfast and ironclad, standing on God's word. Everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and him who knocks, the door will be open. He says in John 16, 23 and 24, he says these words, he says, in that day you shall ask me nothing, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name. Notice that he says, ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto if you ask nothing in my name, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Mark 11, 23 through 24, he says, I tell you the truth, if anyone should say unto this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and you will have it. He talks 3 times about saying it, 2 times about believing it. He talks a whole lot about saying it. In other words, after you pray for it, keep confessing that I have it now. For instance, if you pray, God, I need transportation, please bring me a car. From that moment forward, I would continually thank God that I have the car. Thank you for my new car, Lord. Thank you that I have transportation. Thank you for my car. Even though you don't see it yet, thank Him in advance and it will come to pass. That's how prayer works. Now, Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. That simply means praying in tongues. On all occasions. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to pray about different situations. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, he says, be joyful always. He says, pray without ceasing. That's how much we should be praying, constantly. And you're going to need a whole lot of prayer if you miss the rapture. Pray without ceasing, and he says, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So even though you're in a terrible situation right now, keep thanking Him. In the midst of it, it'll keep you encouraged. Now, we have some very important things you need to know. You're going to need a Bible. It is your map. It is your guide. It is your survival book. It is the book that's going to help you survive. All the information that you need to survive the tribulation period is all found in the book called the Bible. It's all in there. The main place that you should be reading, especially now, would be your New Testament. Not just the book of Revelation, but the whole New Testament. From Matthew to Revelation, you're going to want to read the whole thing over and over and over and over and over. Your instructions for holy living that God requires you are in there. The way to get answered prayer is in there. The way to survive, God's protection, it's all found in there. From Matthew to Revelation, you're going to want to meditate. The Bible says in Joshua 1:8 that in order to be successful, we should meditate His Word day and night. That simply means live in the book. Live in the book. Keep your nose in that book. Keep reading in it. Hide a few Bibles, because other people are going to be after them at this point. You're going to want to bury some, possibly, if you've missed the rapture. You're going to have a bunch of Bibles around. Now, And be generous and help people around you, because everyone else around you is going to be wanting to get saved. And since you've heard this message, now you know how to get them saved. If our website is still up, listen to all the messages. There's over 200 plus different teachings that will teach you the ways of God. They're all available for free. If you can find our church, we're going to have a whole bunch of messages stacked on CD, perhaps, that you can find. And Bibles. Because you're going to need Bibles. God's Word is true. We need to take God's Word literally. It means exactly what it says. Other people will tell you that doesn't mean that. Tell them baloney. The Bible means exactly what it says. It is to be taken literally. And if people would stop thinking everything is figurative, they wouldn't be so confused about God's Word. Most of Revelation, I will say this, most of the book of Revelation is to be taken literally. When it talks about different creatures coming to torment people, those are not military equipment. That's what the devil wants you to believe, so you're confused. It's to be taken literally. And everything, you know, if there is anything figurative in the Bible, it is conveyed. There's spiritual truths that you can understand that are right around those scriptures. It's explained somewhere. And you can, you know, if it is figurative, you can take the literal truth conveyed by the figurative language. There's a literal truth in everything that is figurative. God speaks in parables, allegories, all sorts of different ways, but the majority of your Bible is to be taken exactly as it is written, literally. Beware of deception. There's going to be many false prophets in the last days, Jesus said. There are going to be many people trying to get you to follow them and make an allegiance with them and do all sorts of things that are going to send you straight to hell. Don't do that. Follow God. Follow His Word and stay close to Him. I will say this, that if the rapture has taken the place, you're not going to see Jesus for 7 years. The next time Jesus comes to this earth, it's for the battle of Armageddon to put down anyone who has not repented. And He's going to come back with thousands upon thousands of His holy ones to convict everyone of all the ungodly deeds they've done in an ungodly way and all the harsh words of all ungodly sinners have spoken against them, according to Enoch. Now, you need to know that if other people appear and claim to be Jesus or other prophets appear and claim to be this or that, if they're not preaching the truth of God's Word, stay away from these jokers. You follow what the Bible says. It's your survival guide. It's your roadmap to heaven. I will say this, that there's more false teachers than there are true out there. Be careful who you're listening to. Find one good teacher who's teaching the truth and convicts you in the Spirit, in your heart, and you know it's true, and follow the one person. Don't follow many teachers. You're going to get yourself all confused because all these people are going to be teaching a different message. You have to find one, pray, and God will lead you to the right one. He will guide you to the right teacher to listen to. Amen. If you're listening to these messages, I can tell you that these messages are coming straight from heaven. You can trust our messages. There's few and far between in the land today that you can trust, but you can trust my messages. Because I'm not out for your money. I'm out for your soul. Now, he says this. I'm just going to say these words to you. That our teachings are firm. If you can get a hold of any Bible you can, and the internet is still open, get yourself a Dake Anointed Reference Bible. Dake Anointed Reference Bible. Phinehas Dake. He's from the early 1900s. You can trust his message. Everybody else, forget about it. I don't know what they're teaching, so I can't guide you on anybody else. Also, Brother Roberson from Tulsa, Oklahoma. You can listen to him. As for these other guys, I don't know what they're even saying. I don't pay attention. I just read my Bible, and that's what I encourage you to do. Focus on your Bible right now. That's the information you need. Stick with God's Word. If you have to listen to other people's teachings because you can't understand it, then get yourself a Dake Bible or listen to our teachings online. Now, also you could get a Dake God's Plan for Man book. Good, solid, biblical teaching according to the Scripture. Prayer is going to be your lifeline to make it through the tribulation period. I say this again. Prayer is going to be your lifeline. You're going to have to cry out to God. Some of these situations are going to get very difficult, but don't get discouraged. God is with you in trouble. The Bible says that many are the tribulations of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from them all. It does not say, I want you to understand this, that just because you're a Christian does not mean things are going to go smoothly. In fact, typically it gets a lot harder when you're a Christian. But the end of the path that you are on is much better than the end of the broad path that those other people are on that seem to be having a good time. Watch for God's provision and trust Him. He doesn't always move in the way you expect. Ask the Holy Spirit. Again, I tell you to ask the Holy Spirit for guidance. You're going to need to ask that constantly. Especially if you have to be on the move because of the resulting persecutions that are going on. Now, if you have a Bible, I want you to turn on over to the book of Luke. I want to show you just a couple things here. Don't panic. Be at peace. God is with you. Now, in Luke chapter 21, if you want to know all about end times, I'll give you the chapters that they are in. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus talks about end times. Also, Mark chapter 13, Jesus again talks about end times. Luke chapter 17 and Luke chapter 21, he talks about end times. And the book of Revelation. Also, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talk about the rapture. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about the rapture. But I do want you to know this. When Jesus talks end times, his main focus was on the Middle East and the Jews. If you don't know that, you're going to be all confused. And if you have access to online or you found some of our CDs, listen to the teachings that I did on the book of Revelation. There's more wrong teachings about the book of Revelation than you can shake a stick at. So listen to the truth. The book of Revelation is the easiest book in your New Testament to understand. It is the absolute most easy book in the whole New Testament to understand, yet people run around confused because they don't realize that the Bible should be taken literally wherever it is possible. That's the first rule, the basics of Bible interpretation is the Bible should be taken literally wherever it is possible. And everything figurative, there's always a literal truth conveyed by the figurative language. Now, in Luke chapter 21... I want you to see this in verse 25. Jesus said there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. Everybody stop. The blood moons, the super moons, the strawberry moons, all these different, there's been so many different red moons that they call them all sorts of different names now. To try to get this, Satan's trying to get the people to quit focusing on the blood moons. What they really are is they're all blood moons. They're starting to call them different things. There's been numerous, in 1 month, there are 3 or 4 of them. They call them super moons. They happen just a few days apart. You may not even know that. They've been happening constantly. I was driving down the road late at night the other day, and I just seen some other humongous, weird-looking moon. I thought, my goodness, how could people not notice these signs? So all these blood moons, Jesus was showing you signs, but perhaps you didn't want to listen or you were backslidden. And now you've missed the rapture. But I'm telling you right now, those were all signs of the time. You need to know these things. He says there'll be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. If you missed the rapture, all you got to do is turn on YouTube. And you can see that for the last, since 2011, there has been a ridiculous roaring and tossing of the sea. It's been all around you, but for some reason, Satan had you blinded. But now you're free. So recognize that those were all the warning signs that Jesus had given you. So he did warn you. Don't think that he's forsaken you. But you were not listening. He says, men will faint in terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. That's talking about the heavenlies above. There's all sorts of things that have been going on already, and there'll be plenty more during the 7-year period called the tribulation. He says, now, I want you to see some, you know, he says in verse 29 that look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, that's all the signs that he listed throughout the entire chapter. When you see those things happen, you can know that the kingdom of heaven is near. In other words, that the Daniel 70th week is the tribulation period. That's what it's called in the book of Daniel. It's Daniel's 70th week. It's a 7-year period of nothing but problems. In particular, it's going to be focused mainly around the Middle East and the Jews. But it's going to affect the whole world. It's going to be worse than any time that's ever been on the entire face of the earth, according to Jesus' words. Now, I want you to see this Go on over to Matthew chapter 24 now. This is again an end times chapter. And he says in verse 22, so you can know that there's some hope for you. He says, if those days, well, let's start in verse 21, for there will be great distress. The King James Version says great tribulation. That's the 7-year period. There will be great tribulation unequaled from the beginning of the world until now and never to be equaled again. So it's going to be even worse than the time of Noah's flood. If those days, what days? This 7-year period that you are now in, if you've missed the rapture. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. The reason he said that is because there will be many, 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 many people who survive. In fact, by the end of the tribulation period, there will be people somewhere up in the mountains that never even heard anything was going on. They won't even know. They won't even understand what was happening. They may never even got a Bible yet, but they're going to live through it. It's going to happen. There's many scriptures in the Old Testament that prove that. Not everybody's going to die, but there's going to be a lot of people. A third of mankind, he talks about, is going to get killed by those creatures, and there's all sorts of other plagues and hail balls, 114-pound hail balls falling down, blood, fire, mix of smoke, all fire, sulfur, all sorts of things that are going to kill people. But not everybody's going to die in the tribulation period, contrary to what most people will tell you. And no, it's not Armageddon yet, because Armageddon is not till 7 years after the rapture. Now, he says this, he says no one would survive, but for the sake of the elect, that's those who get born again, and for those who are, that God is trying to get born again during that period, he says those days will be shortened, which again proves to you that many people will live through this period. Many people live through. Mid-tribulation, if you've made it all the way to mid-tribulation, you've possibly seen that 144,000 Jewish people disappeared. There's another rapture mid-tribulation. That is the man-child described in the book of Revelation. That is Israel. 144,000 of them got born again. The rest of them are going to escape to Edom, Moab, and Ammon for a time, times, and half a time to stay out of the devil's reach. If that has happened, the Antichrist has appeared. Let's talk about the Antichrist for a moment. The Antichrist does not come out of the United States. Obama is a Antichrist. He is not the Antichrist. Can you prove that with Scripture? Absolutely. 1 John chapter 2, he says, I've told you that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. Many Antichrists have come. And that was in John's day. Could you prove Obama's Antichrist? Absolutely. He mocks God. His April Fool's Day joke. If you study into what he was actually doing, he was mocking God, saying that I'm the one that taught that man in the movie to spit on Jesus Christ, is what he was saying. He's a terrible man. But we can pray for him. Most likely, if you're somewhere in the tribulation period, he's no longer president. Right now, what's happening is there's different kingdoms around the world uniting for peace. Let me tell you something about the peace. Forget about it. Amen. There ain't going to be no peace in the tribulation period. They're coming to Satan's deception is the peace. What's actually going to happen is a whole lot of wars for 7 years. The first 3.5 years of the tribulation period are going to be wars revolved around the Middle East, and the formation of the 10 kingdoms. After these 10 kingdoms unite, out of one of these, it says in the book of Daniel, out of one of these, which is Syria, the Antichrist will rise. Syria is one of the 10 kingdoms. The Antichrist is going to come out of Syria. It calls him the Assyrian in the Bible. If you got a hold of our Revelation teachings, you can see that I prove that with Scripture. I don't care what chips that they're doing in the United States, what chips that they're trying to force you to take around here, that may be the mark of the beast, it may not be. I can tell you one thing, if it happens before the rapture, I ain't taking no chip for no reason. Forget about it. Unless God tells me it's okay. But I can tell you that the mark will be on the forehead or on the hand. It's not in. It's going to be on. It's going to be something that you can see. It's not going to be an implant. Although there's many, the technology's there for implants, and it's going to start coming September, most likely. They're going to start with these implants around here. People are going to start taking. They've already had enough things pointing towards it, and they told all the stores to be prepared by September, by mid-September for these things. So there's going to be some kind of implant around here, but it's not the mark of the beast. How do you know it's not the mark of the beast? Because we're not in the tribulation period. The Antichrist doesn't rise till 3.5 years later. And when the mark of the beast comes, he's going to force you to take it, and it's going to have 666 written on it. You're going to know when it's the mark of the beast.
Amen.
You don't have to be paranoid about all of these chips, although, again, I'll tell you personally, I ain't taking nothing unless the Lord tells me to take it.
Amen.
Okay? If the mark of the beast is coming, you're listening for the Middle East, don't take that mark. You're going to go to hell forever. Don't worship the beast in his image. You will burn in hell forever. There's no forgiveness for that particular thing. It says in Revelation chapter 14, there is no forgiveness. They will be tormented day and night. Anyone who worships the beast in his image or takes the mark of his name or the mark of his image. There's no forgiveness. They're going to be tormented forever. So don't take the mark. Don't take the mark. Don't take the mark. No matter how hard it gets, pray out to God. He will provide for you if you will trust in Him. Now, I want you to see this in Matthew 24, verse 10. And while you're turning over there, I'm going to read verse 23. It says, at that time, at the time of the tribulation, if anyone says, you look, here's the Christ, or there He is, don't believe it. Jesus said, don't believe it. He said, false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and miracles to deceive even the elect. That's you. You're born again. You're the elect. If that were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time. He warned you. Jesus also said in another place concerning those chapters, he said, as far as the east is from the west, as far as the lightning is visible from the east as it is in the west, he says, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. In other words, when Jesus finally comes back to this earth, everybody's going to know it. There's not going to be a question. He's going to come back as a mighty conqueror with thousands upon thousands of people. You're going to see it. It's going to be a major event that everyone will see. He's not going to come as some man claiming to be Christ over here, or some prophet claiming over here. If those guys aren't teaching the Bible, then stay away from them. They're jokers. Just stay away from these people. Now, we're going to talk about Luke chapter 17. Go on over there. Again, this is a message for those who miss the rapture. Why? Because the rapture is going to be happening very soon. You're just going to have to trust your pastor. I'm telling you right now that I am basically, like Michelle said, she seen me have, what, before we even got married, God gave her a vision of me grabbing her hand and we were running out of this planet to tell her to trust me. I'm telling you to trust me. You can take it as you will. I've shown you nothing but the love of God and told you nothing but the truth. This is the truth here. We are in the end times. The signs are all around you. All you got to do is pull up a couple YouTube videos and look what's happening around the world. This is it.
Amen.
And you don't have to be scared because we're getting out of here. We're going to have ecstasy for the next 7 years. But the people that are stuck down here are going to have problems for 7 years. We're going to be eating a big feast up there preparing for battle. What kind of battle? The battle of Armageddon. We're going to come back down here, and anybody who's following the Antichrist and all those 10 kingdoms that gave their power over to him that are trying to rise up against God, forget about it. They're going to get annihilated. I'll give you some more signs of the times. In Detroit, they took down a statue of a soldier, and there's a statue of Satan there now with little children surrounding him. People are beginning to worship Satan like it doesn't even matter anymore. You're trying to tell me that's not a sign of the times? This is the most wicked generation that's ever been on the face of the earth. I don't think anybody's ever gone that far to worship Satan. But this generation does it, and they think it's okay. And it's becoming more and more prevalent and more accepted, especially when it comes to, you know, the Illuminati and the popular people and the rich people. You know, I had one man that I used to go to a Bible study with who worked on houses, and he said that when he went in this big rich man's house, there's a big, humongous thing of the devil in there. People weren't rich people. A lot of rich, really, really rich people, if they're not following God, their sin just gets worse and worse to the point where they will actually worship Satan, some of them. Not all of them, some of them. Some of them repent and give their lives to Jesus. Now we're in Luke chapter 17, and that's not the only one. There's other statements that statues of Satan out there. They're out there. In fact, they even had recently in one of the some kind of major government type building, they had a black mass down there and it was accepted. Some of the people tried to protest against it and they said, no, we're not backing out. We're having a black mass. And they had their black mass. That's how bad it's getting out there. For those of you that aren't paying attention, you should be paying attention because Jesus said a few things. He said, be ready and watch before his coming. That's all he said. That's what the whole message is. Be ready Make sure your heart is right and watch around you. Just read through Matthew 24, Luke chapter 17, Mark chapter 13, Luke 21. Read it through one time and you'll see. If you'll pay attention, that's his main message, is be ready and watch. Be ready and watch. Be ready and watch. So if you miss the rapture, it's because you weren't obeying Jesus. He already warned you to be watching around you. Even though a lot of the Christians that I know, they act like we're going to be going on for another 12 generations or something. Forget about it. This is it. Let's get out of here. I want to out. I just can't even stand to go out in public anymore because I hate all the wickedness that I have to look at. I don't like this place anymore. I don't like this planet. Although I do, you know, I enjoy my family and so on and so forth, but I don't like to be around that stuff. I don't like to, you know, I had a, I believe it was Summerfest I went to, and the lady had her shorts up to here with her butt cheeks hanging out. And I was so grieved inside. I said, Lord, and he said, he brought the scripture to me, their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. That's her glory. To expose her private parts that should be covered up. Women are supposed to dress modestly, the Bible says. And they want to run around showing off their parts because they don't love God. They don't care. They're wicked. But they can repent, and God loves them, and he will make them his son and daughter just as quick as anything. Now, Luke chapter 17, Jesus was speaking on end times. I want you to see this. He said, the time is coming, in verse 22, when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. Men will tell you, there he is, or here he is. Don't go running off after them, for the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning, which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. What was it in the days of Noah? Does anybody remember? Genesis chapter 1 through 7. What was it by the time Noah was taken up in the ark? It says that wickedness was grievous to God. It was extremely wicked. I can tell you this, through study and meditation and revelation, that the main sin in Noah's day before the flood came was sexual perversion. Sexual perversion. You can read about that in Romans chapter 1. Of what types of sexual perversion? Because there's other types of sexual perversion. You know, they're already making, in different areas of the world, they're already making these, they look just like humans. They're sex dolls that people can buy for $6,000. They look just like women. Exactly like beautiful women. And they're going to sell these things so people can flaunt their perverse acts out there. And let me tell you something, what's going to happen to them? They're on a broad path that leads to destruction. Stuff is not even funny what they're doing out there. And he says, whoa, whoa to you whom through those sins come, Jesus said. Now, he says, just as it was in the days of Noah, so will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. People were eating and drinking. Jesus is not talking about eating and drinking, but he's talking about banqueting and rioting. Marrying and being given in marriage. I can tell you exactly what kind of marriage he's talking about. You can figure it out. We just had one two houses down from us in the backyard last week. You try to tell me we're not in the last days, forget about it. He says, people were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. He's referring to the tribulation period. He's referring to the rapture of the church, getting the people out of here. It was the same in the days of Lot. Well, what happened in the days of Lot? He pulled Lot out, and then fire and sulfur destroyed all the people. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building, going about their business, thinking it's never going to happen. But the day Lot left Sodom, and the day the church got raptured out, you could say too, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. Now, there may not be fire and sulfur in the tribulation period, but there's going to be a whole lot worse things going on. Because Jesus says it's worse. Okay? So these are two different examples, and you can read about that in the book of 2 Peter. He uses the same examples again. 2 Peter chapter 2. He uses Noah, and again uses Lot leaving Sodom. And he tells you not to sin. So now, going over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, real quickly. We'll try to squeeze this in. And tomorrow, I believe, we'll be along these lines, but we're going to slow down, and I'm going to talk to you more by the gifts of the Spirit. Right now, we're kind of teaching.
Now, but I can tell you this is a prophetic exhortation because I can feel the anointing of it on me. So now he says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant. This is concerning the rapture. We do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. That's those, the dead in Christ. According to the Lord's own word, I tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the Lord's coming, will certainly not precede, that means before, precede those who have fallen asleep. So in other words, those who have fallen asleep, something's going to be first about them than those who are in that are alive. He says, for the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. It's not a zombie apocalypse. The reason those people came out of the graves, and the reason I say it's not a zombie apocalypse is because I believe, personally, from the way God has done this before, it's going to be an event, and those people may walk around for days before He pulls them out of here. Can you prove that? Absolutely. When Jesus rose from the dead in Scripture, it says that the bodies of many holy people rose out of the tombs and out of the graves and appeared to many people. It must have been a long enough event that a lot of people seen this happening before He took them up, they got their glorified bodies and He took them to heaven. Apparently they must have got their glorified bodies at this time, because I know that they weren't walking around as skeletons. See? And He made a major event out of Jesus' resurrection. I can only guarantee you, when He parted the Red Sea and delivered them out of Egyptian bondage, it was a major event. Everybody saw it. When God does the rapture, that trumpet blast is probably going to be so loud that everybody in the whole earth is going to hear that blast, whether they go up in the rapture or not. They're going to know that there was something that happened. It's going to be a major event. It's not going to be, oh, was that the rapture? No, you're going to know. You're going to know. In fact, if you're born again, you're going to have nothing to do with it. You're going to go up in it whether you even know what happened or not. You're just going to... You have nothing to do with that event. It's just you're going to go up in it. It's going to happen. He says, in a flash, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet, as fast as you can blink, you're going to be in heaven. That fast. You're not even going to know what happened. You're just going to, boom, all of a sudden be there. There may be a big flash or something. Well, I don't know. But all I can tell you is it's going to be a trumpet blast and you're going to be in heaven instantly. That fast. Amen. Don't look back. Like Lot's wife did, you know what happened to her? She turned into a pillar of salt. And that was a type and shadow of those who were backslidden and looking back to this world, one foot in it. I'm going to keep my toe over here. Forget about it. Now, he says, we will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep, for the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, after the dead in Christ rise out of their graves, we who are still alive and are left, so obviously some people will still be alive. Again, he tells you. Not everybody's going to be dead. We who are still alive and are left, be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Notice Jesus did not come down to the earth. He doesn't come down to the earth at the rapture. He's going to be in the clouds. We're going to meet Him in the air, it says. Very important to know. Because the second coming of Christ, we say the rapture we refer to as the second coming. The real second coming of Christ is Armageddon. That's the next time He comes. When He comes, He's going to set His foot on the Mount of Olives. It's going to split in two parts, north, south, and there's going to be a valley in between, and that's He's going to come back for war. Now, He says we're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. So if you had to live through the tribulation period, there's no encouragement in any words. It's nothing but fear. Forget about it. He's not appointed us to suffer wrath. Can you prove that? Yeah, keep reading. Verse 1, now brothers, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, the other translation says peace and security. Look at your YouTube videos, my friends. That's what all of them are screaming. Peace and security. Peace and security. Peace and security. Peace and security. We have to come together for world peace. What do you think they're going to do on September 23rd and 24th? Peace and security. Peace and security. That's what the Pope is saying. He's one of the most influential people in the whole world. Peace and security. Peace and security. They say it over and over and again. What does Jesus say? That was one of the signs. He says when people are saying peace and security, destruction will come on them suddenly and they will not escape. In other words, The rapture's going to happen, and there's going to be 7 years of destruction on this planet against the ungodly. Don't even let anybody fool you. When people talk peace and security, don't even think about it. It's not going to happen. There's not going to be peace and security until 7 years later when we put down all these rebels. Then there's going to be peace and security when Jesus is reigning on this earth. Because we're coming down from the planet heaven to this earth, and we will be on this earth forever. We're not going to be in heaven forever. After 1,000 years of being on this earth, heaven, the new Jerusalem, is going to come down from earth, and they're going to collide together as one, and it's going to be even better.
Amen.
We're going to be on this planet forever. The earth abides forever, the scripture plainly says. He says that seasons have come and seasons go, but the earth abides forever. The earth is going to end. No, it's not. The world's going to end. No, it's not. The social systems, as you know, what are going to end the way they are right now, but the earth is never going to end. We're going to be on this planet right here forever on earth. 7 years in heaven, billions and billions and billions of years time without end for here. Now, he says when people are saying peace and safety or peace and security, all is well and secure, peace and safety, he says, in a moment of unseen destruction, ruin and death will come upon them suddenly. That's what the Amplified Version says. As labor pains come upon a woman with a child, and they shall by no means escape. They shall not escape. There will be, he makes it very clear in the Amplified Version, he says again, there will be no escape. They're not, it's too late. They're like the five foolish virgins. They weren't ready. You see? But if you repent and get your heart ready, then you may live through it. Now, but don't follow these people saying peace and security. Forget about it. Now, he says here, but you, brothers, are not in darkness so that this day shall surprise you like a thief. What day? The rapture. Shouldn't surprise you. You should know when it's coming. I don't believe we can know, Pastor Dan. He says right here. This is what God says about it. You, brothers, are not in darkness so that this day, what day? The rapture. Shall surprise you like a thief. It shouldn't even surprise you when it's happening. If you're close enough to God, if you're not sensitive to God, it will pass you by. You may be left behind. Verse 5, you are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert, watching, and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. He's showing you some of their conduct. Riotous living, garbage. Now, he says in verse 8, but since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate in the hope of salvation. That word salvation also means deliverance. That's us. He's talking to the church. Put on the hope of deliverance. Put on the hope of this rapture coming. Put that hope in your head. Salvation, deliverance, preservation. Look it up in the Greek. And he says, for God did not appoint us. Who? He said, we're in the light. They're in the darkness. We're in the light. God has not appointed us. Who? The children of the light. He has not appointed us to suffer wrath. Now that word wrath also translates tribulation. He's not appointed us for the tribulation. Contrary to popular belief, everybody says the church is going to live 3.5 years in the tribulation. No, we're not. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 1, he said, write those things that are now, the things that were, and the things that shall be hereafter. Chapter 4, verse 1 in Revelation, he says, come up here, and I will show you the things that must be hereafter. Hereafter what? Well, in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, he shows the seven churches. Hereafter the churches. The word churches is never mentioned again from Revelation 4 to Revelation chapter 22, showing you, Jesus made it very clear, that the church is going to be pulling out right there. He says, I heard a voice in heaven say, come up here. Instantly he was in heaven. That was showing you that the rapture is going to take place. Jesus said in the beginning of the book, that I'm showing you these things to show the people the things that must soon take place. Not to confuse the people. The book of Revelation is not supposed to confuse anyone. The only reason you're confused is because you listen to 30 different teachers tell you 30 different messages. I told you that the scriptures mean exactly what they say. It's easy. The seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven vials are subsequent and in order. They don't mix and mingle. Some people say they all, it got you so confused by the end of it. God knows how to communicate in a language that's easy for you to understand.
Amen.
Don't listen to anybody telling you all these different stories. Just read the book of Revelation for what it says and understand it. If you have any questions, I can explain them to you or listen online. It is the easiest book in the Bible to understand. It means what it says. Almost all of it does. It's some figurative language, and it's all explained by the book of Daniel. That's your key. That's your lifeline to quit thinking that Obama is the Antichrist. No, he's not. He's not the Antichrist. He may not like Christ, and he may say bad things, but that doesn't matter. He's not the Antichrist, and he can still repent and go to heaven just like everybody else. And I pray that he does. I pray every day for those in authority that they go to heaven. And I believe that he will repent. Why? Because I pray when I pray in faith. Amen? All it takes is one big, huge angel to stand before him and he may repent. Amen? I'd like to have conversations with him in heaven. I'm a believer for his salvation, shouldn't you?
Amen.
We believe the best of our president, right?
Amen.
We believe the best of those in authority. We don't want to rebel against anybody in authority.
Amen.
God instituted those in authority.
Amen.
All of them. If there's crooked ones out there, he's probably using them as agents of wrath against some sinners. Now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he talks about the rapture also. Verse 1, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come to us saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. That day will not come. Scribble it out of your Bible. That day will not come is not in your Bible. If you look at a King James Version, it's in italics, which means it was added. Scribble it out once and forever. Those words should never have been put there. That was put there by some of the translators. It's not in all your Bibles. It should say, don't let anyone deceive you in any way. Rebellion will occur. In other words, if the rapture had happened, there's going to be rebellion down here on the earth is what it's going to say. Rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness will be revealed. In other words, the beginning of the rise of the ten kingdoms, the Antichrist is going to come out and it's going to start to happen. That's what he's talking about. You're not going to know who the Antichrist is until 3.5 years of the tribulation. I know who he is. No, you don't. Forget about him. You don't know who he is. You may have a clue who he's going to be, but you don't know for sure. Unless God gave you some big vision or something. The Antichrist, there's going to be a rebellion down here. There's going to be many wars, and it's going to take him 3.5 years to set up his kingdom down here on the earth before the people finally, six of them, they all lay down and say, look, we're going to give all this authority over to you, Antichrist. And he's going to be in the Middle East. He's not going to be in the United States. Don't even look over here for him. I believe it's Obama. It's not Obama. Can you prove that? Read it. Listen to the teachings that I taught in Revelation. I'm not going to teach it again right now. But I made it very clear to you that the book of Daniel makes it very, very clear exactly the geological location that the Antichrist will come from. He's going to come out of Syria. There's not even a question about it. It calls him the Assyrian, if you'll pay attention. He's going to rise out of the revived Grecian Empire, which is going to rise out of the revised Roman Empire. It's going to be... Babylon's also going to come to power again also. We don't want to get too much into this. Now, he says, don't let anyone deceive you. He says, the rebellion's going to occur and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped. So he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? This was a common doctrine. And now you know what is holding him back. Well, what's holding him back? How do I know what's holding him back? So that that he may be revealed at the proper time. There's a proper time. The secret power of lawlessness is already at work. But the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he's taken out of the way. And then the lawless son will be revealed, who the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless son, that's the Antichrist, will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracle signs and wonders. Have you seen Obama do any miracle signs and wonders? Forget about it. It's not him. I love Obama. And I pray God that he repents and goes to heaven.
Amen.
Care what anybody thinks about it. You got to obey God, amen?
Amen.
You got to be stubborn against this rebelliousness. Now, you're going to be stubborn against something, be stubborn against the devil. Be stubborn against rebelliousness and obey God. Obey those in authority. He says here, It'll be in accordance with the work of Satan displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. Which means that Satan does miracles and signs and wonders. It says right there. Isn't that what it says? So Satan is capable of doing miracles and signs and wonders. But the problem is it says that they're counterfeit. In other words, they are similar to what God does, but he does it to deceive people. That's what it says right here. He deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so they'll believe the lie, and they'll all be condemned and not believe the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. Now, I want you to notice he says, until he is taken out of the way, that he is referring to there as a church. We're the one that holds back lawlessness. There's only three things in the earth that can hold back lawlessness. One of them would be the church, governments, or the church, right? We do know this, that governments are never going to be taken out of the earth, right? But we know that the church is going to be taken out of the earth. So it says, until he's taken out of the way, we know that's not referring to governments, is it? Then it must be referring to the church. So we're the one that's holding back lawlessness. Now, that's as far as we're going to get into this today. In 1 Corinthians 15, if you're still listening, you need to read that. Verses 57 through the end of the chapter talks about the rapture. He says, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. He says, listen, I'll tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. We're not all going to die. Right there again, he says it again. We're not all going to die. We're not all asleep, but we'll all be changed. In the flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. That's the same trumpet he talked about over there. At the last trumpet. He said that the trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we will be changed. The dead in Christ will rise first, the trumpet will sound, same thing he said in Thessalonians. The trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we will be changed. So that's again referring to the rapture. Now we're going to very quickly pray for you. We're going way over time here, but we're going to take communion. And this message is really mainly for you to get this in you, because you need to warn people. There's going to be stuff. I prophesied this. If anybody gave into this ministry, you got a giving statement. We keep track of all your giving. In that giving statement, there was a prophecy that I put in there referring to some things that were going to happen towards the end of this year. That's what I said. It will be the end of this year. I didn't say the beginning. We're going towards the last end of the year. And I know not much has happened over here, but you're going to see some things happen over here before the end of this year. Possibly the rapture. I don't know. That could happen right now. Some people claim it's going to be September 23rd and 24th. I just had someone text me yesterday after I asked a question. What's really going to happen on the 23rd and the 24th is actually the Pope is coming to the United States. Also, he's going to meet with Congress, which is very unusual. There's going to be some announcements made. Now, the Pope has already been talking about aliens. I believe that he's probably going to make some kind of announcements, either one or two things, that they've already made contact with aliens, or they're on their way. Well, I told you that there's no such thing as aliens. This is all part of Satan's deception to prepare people. So if there's any announcements made about extraterrestrials or Martians or aliens, you can know that you can go back to my teaching, and I will tell you again and again, forget about it. It's all part of Satan's deception. There's no such thing as aliens. Forget about it. Just forget about it. Say it. Don't listen to any of that. Don't even listen to that stuff, because if you listen to it long enough, you stand on this creek bank long enough, you're going to slide into that garbage. Stay away from it. Stick with what the Bible says. It's really demonic spirits, and we know that. He says we're not unaware of his schemes. Also, blood moons follow that right after. There's many movies being released that have something with people being translated from one realm to another. It makes you wonder. I mean, maybe the rapture will happen. It could happen before then. It doesn't happen on those days. It could happen after then. Either way, they're trying to prepare the people for it, so when it does happen, they're absolutely 100% deceived by it. And they don't even think it's the rapture. He wants them to think it was some other event so he can keep them away from this book called the Bible. He don't want them to be around that book. He wants everybody to go to hell with him because misery loves company.